is gone, but somewhere in my mind, I believe he lives on.
Now in those days, when the priest went out from Caesar Augustus, the census was taken of all the inhabitants of the earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his home city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to a firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." When the angel that Luke gives us in chapter 2, it's no different. We see here that there is great announcement from the angels to the shepherds about this coming, but even the circumstances in which Jesus was born places his birth in a position where it didn't happen in the corner of a stable. It happened in such a way that everyone in that town of Bethlehem knew that this child was something special. You see, Mary and Joseph traveled during a particular time that Luke tells us about, when Caesar was trying to count up the number of people who were in the Roman Empire, and he had ordered them to go and to register, and so Joseph comes with Mary to the city of Bethlehem because he is of the house of David. And so David was the lineage of Christ, and we understand from Scripture that we look at the Old Testament and we see where God gave King David. We're talking about the David that dropped the giant, that slayed Goliath. That God made him a promise that he was going to be king, and that from his family, someone from his line would always sit on the throne ruling over the nation of Israel.
So they catch,
and so he's the one that promise has been made, and through his family that promise was going to be kept. And so we see that Joseph is from that family, Mary is from that family as well, and so who else is going to be from that family? Matter of fact, Jesus is going to be the one to whom that throne is given. That is the promise that the angel made to Mary back in chapter 1, that the child that she was bearing in her body was going to be the inheritance, the one who takes the promise of David and make it a reality. And so they go to the city in order to register, the city of Bethlehem, and obviously when they get there, there are probably hundreds of thousands of people that have come there for that same reason. So this city is slammed full. It is overcrowded at this point because all the surrounding areas, people that are connected to Bethlehem, are coming in to be part of that census. They're asking them to take part in. So we have a city of Bethlehem. It's not the quiet little street that we watch in the silence. This is a busy city full of people, all there for the same purpose. And so they're there with everyone else trying to find a place to stay, and they end up staying in the same place. It's quite possible that they weren't the only ones. And so they are surrounded by this huge crowd. Don't miss that. They are surrounded by this huge crowd of people in the middle of what is about to be a pivotal point in the history of mankind. God himself stepping into real time, into reality, being birthed into this world in a body like yours. And so they find the stable, and that is where they stay because they had no place that they could find in any inn that they could get into in order to have a room. And while they're in this stable with animals and maybe even some other people, this baby is born. And they lay him in what is basically a feeding trough. We see many different depictions of it, but most likely it was carved out of a big piece of stone and was gutted out so that they could put food or water or something in it for the animals. And so he's wrapped in cloth, and he's laid in that feeding trough in the middle of the stable. And while they are there waiting to be part of the census, and the birth of this child comes, and it seems to... They know. Mary knows what's been told to her. Joseph knows because he's been visited by an angel as well. And so both of them know what this child, that this child is special, that this child is the Son of God. They don't have any full comprehension of what that means. They don't have any full understanding of what he is ultimately going to do, of going to the cross and dying to pay for the sins of mankind. But they know that this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit and brought into this world by the direct hand, supernatural act of God himself. They know he is the Son of God. They know he's the Messiah because the angel has told he's going to be the one that's inheriting the throne of David. He's the one that Israel has waited for. And a lot of times people like to stop right there and think that how humble he came and how quiet and silent it was. But that's not the case. Remember, we have the story of Zacharias and what happened with him being told that Elizabeth, his wife, was going to give birth to John the Baptist, who would come before the Messiah, who would actually be the one who would tell all of Israel, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That he would directly point the people of Israel to the Messiah and say, "This is him. This is the one that you've been waiting for." And the circumstances surrounding that was that Zechariah didn't trust the angel. And so he was deaf and mute, couldn't hear and couldn't speak for 9 months, the whole time that Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist was actually birthed into this world, Zacharias gained back his hearing and he was able to speak again, and he prophesied and told the people, "My son is going to show you the Messiah. He's coming right before him, so he's on the way." So we have this pronouncement there that this great Messiah is coming. And in the middle of all these hundreds of thousands of people where he is born, we have another instance where God is making it very plainly, very clear to all of mankind, "I am the Son of God." There are shepherds that same night who are out in fields outside of Bethlehem watching over their flocks. You know what's interesting about the fields around Bethlehem? First of all, we know that Bethlehem is where David came from, right? This was David, King David's hometown. King David was watching sheep in the fields around, watching his father's sheep in the fields around Bethlehem when he was brought in brought before Samuel, and God says, that's my king. Anoint him. He was called from those fields, the very king, the very man that God gave the promise to, that through you I'm going to bring about a Messiah, a deliverer for all mankind, came out of those same fields. God doesn't do anything unintentionally. God wants to make it very clear what he's up to and what he's doing. In these same fields where he called his king to whom he gave the promise, he brought about the message of hey, this promise to come. He brought it back to the shepherd boy that he called out to their king. He brought the reality of his promise and announced it to the shepherd. In the same fields for which he called, same area where the lambs of the rain were slaughtered to pay for the sins of the nation. In those same fields, he made the pronouncement. To defend themselves, and they knew how to defend themselves and how to defend their flocks. They were tough guys. These were guys that you wouldn't want to pick a fight with and mess with. And this angel appears to them out in the fields, and they are frightened. And so you have a messenger coming directly from heaven, from God himself, appearing to some very, very tough men. And he says to them, first of all, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why has he come? I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Since so he's bringing good news. It's for who?
The birth of his son.
Not just for the shepherds. Not just for the nation of Israel. Not just for the Jews, but for what the angel tells the shepherds, and he gives them even more details about this good news. For today, in verse 11, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three titles that are given there. He's called Savior. He's called a Deliverer. He's called the one that's going to make things right. And he's called Christ The word Christ in the Greek is a direct translation of the Jewish word Messiah. And so the angel is telling these shepherds, listen, the Savior of the world, your Messiah, the Deliverer, the one that you have been waiting for, has come into this earth. He has been born right here tonight in Bethlehem. But he's not just Savior, he's not just the Messiah, he's not just the Deliverer, the chosen one, he also
came there. And as he looked towards the earth, the source of the sound on that day
can separate tonight. He is both one and the same. We call him the Deliverer, we call him the Savior, the one that saves you from your sin, is also to call him Lord. And to call him Lord means that he has all. Everything is under him. This is what we read in John chapter 1, where John talks about him being the light of the world, the light that came into this dark world, that this light, that through him all things were created. That means that nothing is in existence without his being, without his presence, without his saying so. And so you, this earth, everything was created because Christ himself spoke and created, was there in the presence of God, was making things there with God the Father and all of creation. Creation being put together, and he himself has a glory to us. God's making it very clear to these shepherds and to all of humanity what he's doing. He has sent the Messiah. He has sent the Deliverer. And here's how you will know who that child is and the circumstances in which he is born. And then we see in verse 13 that this heavenly host appears with the other angel. They begin praising God. And look what they say. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men. And then after hearing that, the shepherds get together and they say, they go rushing into the city, remember the streets are full of people. Why overcrowded? It's worth it to find your way there.
Fairy tales, gay old stockings, lined up in a row. What is Christmas? Could someone tell me that? What is Christmas? Surely I don't know. And there's lights. Christmas trees with colored lights underneath, they will still out of the trees. Do you think that one day perhaps they might find that Christmas is kind of a disease? Every year it's waiting for me, waiting for me. Every year it constantly divides, placing strangers there before me, spreading hope and cheer mixed in with happiness, eternal bliss, another Christmas alive! For Christmas, I now realize it's an excuse to tolerate snow.
Snow.
God,
I don't even like the sound of it.
On the night,
anyway,
that Christ was brought into this world, he made it very clear what he was doing.
Yes.
That all the promises.
What is Christmas? Candles everywhere, a fire as at any other day. Children light them. No one seems to care for Christmas. Every year it returns here, and every year it's waiting for me. Why can't Christmas disappear and just pretend it never saw me? Every year I get my hopes up that it will somehow just leave. But every year I wait to find that once again it now is Christmas.
God sending a deliverer is good news. Why is that good news? Because you and I are held captive by sin and death. That are used in the sacrifice of Passover, and that He Himself can be that Passover lamb. Because you see, what God demands for sin is a sacrifice. Something, someone has to die. Who's sinned against God? Everyone, mankind, has sinned against God. God demands the death of a man. Our life, that peace is only available to who? In verse 14, with those whom God is pleased. Now I'm sure every one of us sitting here this morning hearing this, we want to please God, don't we? We want God's favor in our life. We want that forgiveness that's available for the sin that we have committed
on
against God. We want to know that we can spend an eternity
in the cold
with God.
Winter
in heaven,
light.
We want to know that we don't have to be held captive by death and by sin and by guilt for the rest of eternity.
And
the Lord
out there
hell. We want to know that we are made right with
as
Him.
As
and that's exactly
just
the peace
hesitating.
That we're talking about.
And the snow, it comes down, and it muffles the sound of dreams
in this circumstance,
on the way to
what we are talking about.
And when they appear, this night will hold them near. Where they will lead, it will follow.
Because the Bible,
here in this city of light, this evening awakens the dreams that it might. The winter, it might.
problem can't be dealt with until we exercise faith in Jesus Christ. And so if you have never trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, if you have never surrendered your life to Him as Lord and said to Him, I place all of my life, God, every decision I make, everything that I know, everything that I have, I place it in Jesus' name. If you have never cried out to Him for the forgiveness of your sins and done that very thing, then there is no peace between you and God. This feast that is celebrated at Christmas time is not a thing
one should squander. They reek out their sadness as it runs through their hand and examine each moment for me. It can be wished upon till the moment it's gone, like day disappears into evening. For here in this city of lights, this evening awakens the dreams that it might. The winter it conjures, the moment is seized. So gently covers the ground. Christmas Eve.
You live with the conviction that what you believe is right. If He is the Passover Lamb who died, and He is the Lord who walked out of the grave, and He has authority even over death, He is the ruler of the universe. And to believe it is to surrender your life to Him, and to live. That is the only way for us to have peace with Him. We can have wonderful time celebrating with Him. We can have a wonderful time in church this morning, singing songs of praise to Him and remembering what Christmas is really about.
This night,
unless in our own hearts we reconcile the reality of this child that was born in Bethlehem and the city of David, the one who brings about the
It's not.